All right, so I said last week that I would tell you the punchline of all this learning Mandarin. All right, the punchline is this. As I've slowly been, and I'm presuming that you've listened to the last episode. So if you haven't, good luck. So I've been slowly learning Mandarin. And because of that, I've acquired the local accent. Now, I can pronounce the quote-unquote proper accent. The most proper Mandarin spoken anywhere in the world is in Taipei, which is in Taiwan. The Beijing Mandarin is wrong. I know that that's going to be like, wait a minute, Jesse, who are you to judge? So he's like, hold on. Try to track with me. And I know someone's going to feel marginalized by this. Technically, the most correct North American English is in Illinois. Chicago. That's where the most correct North American English is. Everywhere else you go, Canada, even Michigan. I'm a Michiganian and I hate my own accent. I can't stand it, but I don't know how to get out of it. Maybe being around the world has rounded me out in college in Chicago also. But if you go to the Northwest, you go up to Seattle, you go to maybe even California, you know, they start talking different. You get down south, there's a lot that's technically on the books. I mean, so what? Who cares? All right. But it is technically wrong how people will speak a lot in the South. In fact, how most people, I see this walk-away movement, all these young vloggers showing up and these new politicians showing up. Their English is terrible. On the one hand, it's endearing that such normal, ordinary people are able to run government and make a difference in the world, which is good. On the other hand, it is kind of sad to me. It's like, come on, guys, where's the care and concern for language? Like using prepositions multiple, it's like multiple times, like in a sentence, like the reason for which he started talking for. And it's like, you said for twice for the same set of nouns. Do you know that? It's like, but whatever, they'll figure that out. I mean, I did that kind of too for a while. But okay, but there are lots of points in language where what we say is technically wrong. And the accents used, even in New York, you know, that technically the New York accent is technically wrong. It's endearing. I love it. I don't think we should punish anyone for it. But the most correct English, North American English, is in Chicago. And arguably in the world, because British accents don't have a central, center. They don't have a center for their pronunciation. All their vowels, all of the different British vowels sound the same, and they're very close to each other and largely distinguishable from one to the other. And it's like they don't pronounce their R's. They're as lazy with their R's as they are the French with the end of their words. So technically, the most correct English in the world is Illinois. And it's interesting, Illinois means the land of normal speaking people. I think that's what Illinois means in its Native American language. I'm Cherokee, so we like to call ourselves Indians. But, all right, okay. No, Elizabeth Warren is a thing. I'm actually, I think, 1/16th Indian. I believe it was one of my great-grandparents was Cherokee, or great-great-grandparents. I should ask and find out. But yeah, it was a Pocahontas story. That's right. I have a Pocahontas ancestor. I think my father qualified for the free university education. I did not. I was a generation too far away. But now with Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, I suppose all of us qualify for the free Native American education. Yeah. My goodness. What a joke. You know what I think about that. Anyhow, so here I am over here learning this, and I've picked up this accent from southern Taiwan. And if I speak, it's funny because I was talking with a guy last night who's to the province immediately to the north of me, and they have pretty much the same way of speaking. But if I go two more provinces up to the north, and we're talking Chicago, we're talking Rockford. Michigan, we're talking from Kalamazoo to Cadillac. All right, anywhere else, California, we're talking Los Angeles to San Francisco as far as meaningful local distance would be. I don't know. No, Florida, Miami, not to Fort Lauderdale, but it'd be Miami to Jacksonville. So I think you get what I'm talking about. So if you go a few steps north, I speak normally and they don't know what I'm saying. And it's because I think my local accent isn't perfect. And so, and also as a foreigner, they expect me to not be able to speak with those different accent differences, the various and sundry accent differences. They expect me to not be able to do any of that, but to do it just wrong and sound like an idiotic American, like an American pronouncing his H's in Spanish. They expect that out of me. So when I actually speak with stuff that's like 95% close to how they would talk, it's like their ears shut off and it's just they hear white noise. Like that happens. I've got to actually get to know somebody before they realize that I can pronounce stuff relatively closely to how they do. But it's not perfect. So it plays tricks on their ears. Like this is a thing that I have. Well, I could pronounce things if I try to be correct. I can pronounce things the way they do in Taipei and people understand me. But if I'm not talking to someone who's from Taipei, then the other option is that I speak in my normal autopilot local accent, and the only people I can speak with are the people right around me, the locals. All right. So, no, Beijing Chinese.
They talk way like the back of their mouth. They talk way sharp.
That's how they pronounce their words. It's like they swallow everything. And it's actually, in Chinese, they think that just how Americans think that the British English sounds more intelligent. You might disagree with the notion, but it's this feeling we have. When we are listening to someone speak with some sort of a flavor British accent, we generally tend to imagine that what they are saying is far more intelligent and more superior than what we might be saying in other parts of the world with other various and sundry accents. So, likewise, when Mandarin speakers are listening to this thick, ridiculous, pretentious Beijing accent, when they talk that way, they think they're listening to the more intelligent Mandarin. That's a thing that you need to know. Well, I've developed this adorable little Southern Taiwan accent, and it's not quite as bad as they have down if we did Texas. It's not that radical. It's just got a little bit of an Ohio twang to it if you're from Illinois or Michigan. And it's just enough. It's just enough to place me. Now, there's a punchline to all this. I'm probably going to put the punchline in the next episode. But try to get this. If you really want the perfect Mandarin, you've got to do Taipei or in and around Taipei. You know, with I say maybe a 2-hour drive of Taipei. They're going to have this ultra excellent Mandarin accent, and if you show up and learn the phonetic alphabet first, which most Americans are too lazy to do, they want to learn 2,000 characters before they learn 36 or 37, whatever it is. I don't even know. I can say the alphabet. I don't even know how many letters there are. How many letters? Well, hold on. How many letters are there in the Chinese phonetic alphabet? Shang Kai-shek invented the phonetic alphabet. China never, ever had one until they decided to use English characters, which was stupid. Because then you can't, Chinese speakers grow up thinking that American English words sound like Chinese. Because they've taught that's what sound this character makes. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm counting on my keyboard, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. That's how many we got. Punchline tomorrow, maybe.